The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Fantasy Focus.
Happy Monday, everybody. October 21st, Field and Matthew hanging out with you. And we are going to, of course, recap all the games from Week 7. We've got one more tonight, the Patriots and the Jets. Other than that, all the action is in the books. Matthew, a celebratory day here at ESPN as ESPN Daily's podcast debuts. Mina Kimes just hosting it, the primary host. The exclusive host, I think the primary host, but Mina needs a day off every once in a while. Maybe some days they'll let somebody else fill in.
You know,
for her.
It's weird because you think Mina needs a day off, and yet the last couple years has not seemed to indicate that Mina gets a day off.
Fair point. Mina may go all the way through.
I feel like someone should send a note to Mina's agent, like, you know, maybe negotiate a vacation day or two for her.
Well, I believe
because the poor thing just works to the bone. Sure. She's insanely talented. You and I are both big fans of her personally and professionally.
Yeah.
And so please give her the 06010 bump. We're very excited for our friend Mina Kimes. She does a great job with the Mina Kimes podcast, which you and I have both been on.
I'm going on tomorrow, actually.
That's what I heard. And I had a bone to pick with Mina. I saw her the other day. Her and I did an event together in Wednesday. And she said, oh, you know, I got Field coming on Wednesday, his third appearance on the Mina Kimes show. And I'm like, I've only done it once. And she's like, yeah, well, he's more available or whatever. She backtracked, right?
A lot of scrambling as soon as Matthew said that.
I'm just saying.
Here's my retort to that. I tried to send Irv Gotti an Instagram DM. He doesn't follow me, but I figured maybe he just would check his requests and maybe see my name and be like, oh, Field Yates. I definitely got to check that Instagram DM out. I sent him an Instagram DM to be like, yo, Irv, like, are we still playing in that NBA basketball fantasy league this year? He did not respond. Actually, he did see it, but he didn't respond, which is even worse. Like, he acknowledged my presence, but he didn't respond. So, listen, you've got
that's Irv.
Irv, and that's Mina. That's all I'll say. That's Mina. Check out the podcast. It's about the Cowboys today.
Rewind.
Fantasy news
from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
The news of the week really remains that Patrick Mahomes suffered an injury on Thursday night. We now know a bit more about it. So Adam Schefter has reported that it is a dislocated kneecap for Patrick Mahomes. The time frame is what people are asking about now. And on Sunday morning, Adam Schefter reported that Mahomes could return within 3 weeks or less. So let's use 3 weeks as an operating time frame right now, Matthew, understanding this. So they have three weeks. Their bye week is 5 weeks from now. So it's about to be week 8, 9, 10. Let's presume he misses that. I believe in week 11, they play the Chargers in Mexico City, Monday Night Football.
Okay.
And then week 12, they have a bye.
Got it.
So 3 weeks, but could you envision a scenario that it actually prolongs to 5 weeks of fantasy football, given the fact they have a week 12 bye?
Sure.
It seems
sure,
reasonable.
That makes sense, especially because, by the way, you're like, you got to fly to Mexico City, and it's, you know, like, I don't know, but right, you know, it's a long flight, and so they just may not want to put his knee. And I think, candidly, I think how football goes, like, they're not going to obviously put him in a risky situation where they're like, let's get on out there. But my guess is if it's borderline and they've gone 3-0 or 2-1 in this stretch, you know, maybe they can be a little bit more patient if they're as opposed to if they go 0-3 in this stretch.
So the Chiefs, yeah, that's correct. Like, part of it could be, I don't think they're going to make the timeline beholden to their win-loss record, but the point remains.
I'm just saying if it's borderline. I'm not in any way suggesting that the Chiefs would ever risk damage to Patrick Mahomes just because they're like, get on out there and gimp around because we're desperate. I'm not in any way suggesting that. I'm merely saying that, like, if it's just like, could he go? Maybe not. I'm sure Patrick's going to want to get up there as soon as he can.
Of course. But, yep.
You know, they may allow him to be a little bit more aggressive or more conservative based on what's happening on the field.
Let's settle here. Let's call it approximately 3 weeks that Patrick Mahomes will miss, approximately 3 games in fantasy football. So,
but potentially up to 5. Yep.
So let's find a way to discuss these. Well, we'll get to quarterbacks to replace him. We talked about this on Friday, after the news initially broke, or after the injury initially took place on Thursday night. We'll focus on the quarterbacks because Mahomes may not be the only guy you're filling in for in just a moment. But First, as it pertains to the Chiefs pass catchers, because right now, Matthew, you've got the best tight end in football, at least I would say the most talented tight end in football, in Travis Kelce.
What do you say about my Vernon Davis?
Okay. Vernon Davis, second most talented.
Right.
So Travis Kelce narrowly edges out Vernon Davis for most talented player
Fair.
In the NFL.
I'll allow it.
Tyreek Hill, though. Tyreek Hill has returned over the past 2 weeks. And so what is the value for Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, the two players that are staples of a fantasy lineup every single week that are pass catchers for the Chiefs?
You don't lose a player as good as Patrick Mahomes and not take a hit in value.
Right.
You just don't. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is magic. Having said that, I think Tyreek Hill is still a top 10 fantasy wide receiver. He's still a wide receiver one. And Travis Kelce is still a top 3 fantasy tight end.
Right.
If we were drafting today, if you had a draft today for the rest of the year, knowing that Patrick Mahomes is going to miss some time here,
yeah.
and you don't know about, I don't think you get through 3 tight ends and Travis Kelce isn't one of them. I think
it's Austin Hooper, George Kittle, and him?
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Maybe Darren Waller?
Darren Waller, Mark Andrews.
Maybe not after yesterday.
Yeah.
But yes, I agree with you. Travis Kelce, an unquestioned must start every single week. I think Hill's a little bit more interesting, and not because you're not starting him, but maybe the top 10, maybe a tad richer. I don't know. I guess given that there are bye weeks, like, yeah.
There are bye weeks coming in, and honestly, like, when you think about the top, the elite wide receivers that were drafted.
Yeah.
When you think about, like, so Juju's been brutal this year.
Right.
Devonta Adams got a turf toe so far this year.
Antonio Brown's making YouTube videos for a hobby these days.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Mike Evans has, you know, been very up and down.
Yeah.
Now, Chris Godwin would go a lot higher than he did in drafts, right? And I'm sorry, what?
Keenan Allen's been pretty brutal the last couple games, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's had 4 bad games in a row. So my point is that I feel like, I mean, whatever. Your ranks would be your ranks. But I would have, for my ranks, I would have Tyreek Hill still well inside the top 10 going forward. And I'll tell you why. It's partially because of this. I think people will panic about Matt Moore because he's Matt Moore, right? He's not an exciting player. And, you know, they just know him sort of from his Miami Dolphins days. And also because they saw him perform on Thursday night and he did not look good.
He looked okay.
They
look fine.
Yeah. But that's my point, right? It's like, so they got to that game out and everyone's just sort of devastated. Oh my God, Patrick Mahomes, like, you know, is he done for the year? You know, people have panicked about this. Here's what I've said. I said this on Friday. I said this on Fantasy Football Now. I will say this again. There is no coach in the NFL that is better equipped for a situation like this than Andy Reid.
Right.
If my son was a quarterback in the NFL, I would want him to play for Andy Reid. That would be the coach that I would most want him to be there. Because, look, you know what he's done with Patrick Mahomes. You know what he's done with Michael Vick or Donovan McNabb or even Alex Smith, right?
Right, yeah.
But think about what he's done with guys like Kevin Cobb, Nick Foles, his rookie year, Nick Foles' rookie year, right? Jeff Garcia, Coy Detmer, Mike McMahon, Vince Young, A.J. Feely, all of those players, all of those quote-unquote scrubs that I think the average football fan would refer to them as, all of them had fantasy games of 20 points or more under Andy Reid. All of them were productive. Kevin Cobb got a big contract from Arizona based on a handful of games that he played for Andy Reid. Andy Reid is as good a play caller as there is in the NFL, and he is great at coaching up quarterbacks, and now he's got 10 days to get Matt Moore, who's a professional NFL quarterback. Is he awesome? No, but he's a professional NFL quarterback, and he's got 10 days to get them ready. I think Matt Moore will be just fine. And the last piece of this I will say is, like, you saw a small example of that on the Thursday night game where Matt Moore completed, I want to say without the stats in front of me, a 15-yard pass to Tyreek Hill, and then he took it another 40 yards to the house or something like that.
One long play for Tyreek Hill. I think it was 57 yards was the length of that touchdown on Thursday night. A little bit less optimistic than you are, because I wouldn't quite characterize some of the players that you put into that bucket as I would Matt Moore. Matt Moore was literally scouting before the Chiefs called him. Like, he was an NFL scout. Like, Kevin Cobb, second round pick. Michael Vick obviously ended up there in unique circumstances.
Michael Vick doesn't got my point.
Jeff
with
Garcia, like, there's been some players that you, like, those guys had some history.
Coy Detmer,
Mike
Mann,
okay, that one I'll
Kafka,
give. Sure,
like,
I get
come
it.
On.
I get it. So I'm a little bit less optimistic, but here's the reason why.
Okay.
Is there because there are other quarterbacks that are available that I think could make a more prominent mark than what Matt Moore?
Okay, but hang on. These are two conversations that we're having here. So first off, let's just talk about does the downgrade from Patrick Mahomes to Matt Moore affect how you deal with Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill? And my point is that obviously it's a downgrade. No one's saying that Matt Moore is anywhere close to Patrick Mahomes. But to the extent that you care about, hey, can I still get fantasy production out of Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and any other Chiefs that you might have been starting?
You can.
You can.
Yep.
Other you can point, based but, on what they were doing before, and, like, you know, whatever. Sure, Marcus right. Robinson was inconsistent, and so were the, yeah, so were the running
they
backs.
They were dice throws with Patrick Mahomes.
Right, exactly.
So there's going to be dice throws.
Exactly.
So,
but that's,
anyways.
So that's my point there. As far as who are you replacing Patrick Mahomes with, Matt Moore is on the list, but he wouldn't necessarily be my first choice.
That's right. And part of the reason why is there are other great other quarterbacks that have been playing great of late, but it's not just Patrick Mahomes you are now replacing, because yesterday Matt Ryan, to yeah. add injury to insult to the Falcons' season, leaves the game in a walking boot after because of an ankle issue. Now, Adam Schefter has reported that Matt Ryan will undergo an MRI today. The Falcons' season has gone from bad to worse to deplorable to embarrassing to downright forgettable.
The only further step they can go down, they're at the second worst step.
Was tanking?
Redskins.
Redskins.
Dang it, I knew it!
Nailed it, Daniel!
I mean...
You did nail that one.
I got
that was
you.
Good.
Avi, right? I mean, come on. Right? I mean, it's like, yeah, it's like
high
it's,
five.
It's like, yeah, high five. There you go. Virtual high five. Better than ours on air Sunday morning. If you guys missed
check out the gift.
You got to check out the gift.
Like, it's really good.
Field and I had one of the best / most awkward moments. You and I, how long have we worked together? 6 years? 7 years? I mean, like forever.
Yeah, 6 or 7 years.
Something like that.
It was our most awkward moment. Yet.
Most awkward moment of all time.
The really way good. That you turned away at the perfect moment and then Field just stared at the camera like, is everybody else seeing this too? It was amazing.
It was sort of, to me, it was the embodiment of our relationship. Matthew just kind of ignored me and powering through with whatever he was saying, yeah. right?
A little bit.
That's
a little bit.
So Matt
little
Ryan
bit. Anyway,
hurt.
You can both be at, if you want to check it out, it's on both of our Instagrams, at Matthew Berry TMR or at Field Yates on the gram. So check it out. It's very funny. It's an amazing gift. Thank you to all the fans that pulled that and immediately sent it to
really
us.
Good. Well done by you. So Matt Ryan goes right. down. We do not know how long Matt Ryan is going to miss, but there is at least a possibility that he will miss one game, maybe more. So let's get into the options, Matthew, because all of a sudden we've got some good options here at quarterback.
Yeah,
as a matter
do.
Of fact, they will be the top of the waiver wire column today.
And also worth noting, right? Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson.
Both on byes this week. Yep.
Correct. So whether it's because you had Matt Ryan or Patrick Mahomes or because you just need a 1 week fill-in
sure.
for Dak or Lamar Jackson, you know, there's a chance there's going to be a lot of people on the waiver wire looking for a quarterback this week, which is one of the reasons why we said, hey, go pick up a guy when Patrick Mahomes
happened.
On Sunday
morning, right.
On Sunday morning, on Friday morning, we were like,
sure.
Before you have to go to the waiver wire on Tuesday, because you're going to have some competition.
So Matt Ryan goes down, and
yes,
one name to consider, would be Kirk Cousins, the hottest quarterback in football right now. Seriously, over the past 3 weeks, Kirk Cousins, nearly 1,000 passing yards, over 300 passing yards in each of his past three games, as you're sitting here watching that GIF. 10 passing touchdowns. That's the most in the NFL over the past 3 weeks for Kirk Cousins. He's completing some 75.5% of his passes. Just one interception. They have got one healthy star wide receiver. They have two star wide receivers when they are both healthy, because Adam Thielen did go down yesterday. We'll talk about that more later. And his schedule coming up, Matthew, quite favorable.
So,
Washington at home Thursday night.
Yes.
At Kansas City. At Dallas. Of those, I suppose Dallas scares you the most.
Yeah.
But even that is like, ooh, like that's not spooky. Like that would not, you know, like that's not spooky at all.
Yeah, I mean it's a middling. I mean, look, they certainly looked very good last night against the Eagles, but they've been inconsistent so far this year.
And
certainly
not going against
Kansas City doesn't scare you.
The 49ers or something.
And specifically, like if you're just trying to replace Lamar or Dak this week, Cousins, who's available in 62% of ESPN leagues, you love him at home getting my Redskins coming to town.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
you
like,
sure do.
You know, trust me when I tell you there is no love lost between Kirk Cousins and the Redskins. I mean, I don't think that's breaking any news.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
like, so, and by the way, you always sort of look at something, Field, and you sort of say, like, well, why is this success happening? Is it sustainable? And for me, I believe it is with Kirk Cousins. Like, the reason why he was struggling early on wasn't because of him. It was because of the play calling. They were way too run heavy.
The mindset, yes.
The mindset. But they've opened it up a little bit more, and obviously it's working. They're winning games. And look, I've always said this. Like, by establishing the ground game, which they've done fantastically, Dalvin Cook's been nothing short of terrific, right?
Leads the NFL in rushing.
Right. So what that does, it sets up play action. From as long as Kirk Cousins has been in the NFL and been a starting quarterback, He is one of, if not the best, play-action quarterback in the NFL. He is terrific at it. If you look at the numbers on play-action, he is nothing short of fantastic. So as long as Dalvin Cook continues to run the way he is, and we hope Adam Thielen is okay, and we'll get more into that a little bit later, but yes, Kirk Cousins is who you should grab for this week especially.
Option two, and I want to be quick on this because he plays tonight, and there's at least a possibility, there's a non-zero chance that Sam Darnold has a very rough time tonight because the Patriots defense is awesome, but he's available in over 80% of leagues. We have now made this point 37 times, might as well make it 38. From weeks 9 through 14, he draws the Dolphins twice. He gets the Bengals during that stretch. He gets the Raiders during that stretch. He gets the Giants during that stretch. It is a very favorable six-game swing for Sam Darnold and the Jets. Option three will be...
Real quickly, I just want to say this on Sam Darnold, which is that if you need somebody for this week, if you're trying to replace Dak or Lamar, and we'll find out the news on Matt Ryan, maybe it's a one-week thing. If you just need a guy for 1 week, I'm with you. Kirk Cousins is the guy at home against the Redskins.
Yeah.
If you need somebody for longer, like you've lost Mahomes, or if we find out the Ryan injury is a little bit worse than we expected or that we hope, right? Then to me, I prefer Sam Darnold over Kirk Cousins for the longer stretch, right?
For the season again, or no?
For the season, yeah. I mean, because like
board
again,
bet me,
huh?
Board bet me, rest of the season.
Kirk Cousins
more
versus
fantasy
Sam
points
Darnold
per game. Kirk Cousins
starting
versus
in week
Sam
nine
Darnold.
Because again, like I would start in week nine because this is what I'm saying. I'm saying because Mahomes already played. I'm saying that starting in week nine, this is my argument, at Jacksonville, Miami, the Giants.
Yeah, YOLO, right, what
I mean,
the heck? Right,
I mean,
let's
like, that's, that, my argument is that if you don't need a quarterback for this week.
Yeah, I heard you.
You need one going forward for a longer period of time. I prefer Darnold to Cousins. I like both quite a bit. I don't think it's, you know, significantly.
I say Kirk Cousins from
week
nine on averages more fantasy points per game than Sam Darnold.
I say Sam Darnold from week nine on averages more fantasy points per game than Kirk Cousins. Put it on the board!
Put it on the board.
Moving along to option three, Jacoby Brissett, who's available in just over 50% of leagues. This is not about the schedule. It's not about the matchups anymore for Jacoby Brissett. This is about the idea that for some reason, and I understand why, I understand the reason, I'm not a dummy, the conversation with Jacoby Brissett seems to always begin with, hey, in replacing Andrew Luck, he's done a nice job. As if, like, hey, you know, it's such a tall task to replace Andrew Luck that given the circumstances, like, he's doing a nice, solid, peppy job. No, he's just playing great. He's playing really good football. He's got multiple passing touchdowns in all but one game this season. He's got at least 16 fantasy points in all but one game this season. Oddly enough, it was the game against the Chiefs where he did not have 16 fantasy points because they just jammed it down their throat with the running game.
That was a game plan by design where they said, we want to run the heck out of the ball and keep Patrick Mahomes and their offense on the sideline. So, yeah, I mean,
he's been awesome.
Yeah. By the way, not to pat myself on the back, but...
You want me to get it for you instead?
Yeah, could you? Could you pat me on the back? Because when Andrew Luck retired... Thank you very much. When Andrew Luck retired, everyone was sounding the alarm bells, and I think somebody sort of raised his hand and says, I got news for you. Jacoby Brissett is a lot better than you think. Is he Andrew Luck? No, but I think this offense is going to be just fine. And I do think Jacoby Brissett's an interesting sort of sleeper. And I do think to the extent that it affects how you, I don't think you should adjust too much how you rank T.Y. Hilton or the tight
nice
end or Marlon Mack.
Yeah. You know what I would say?
Yes,
so
sir.
We mentioned Matt Moore, by the way, kind of the sleeper available in obviously 99.9% of leagues. Fill in for Patrick Mahomes. Right. I think he would be,
I wonder if,
fourth option?
Yes. I wonder if Gardner Minshew has picked Matt Moore up in his league. Because Gardner Minshew is still available in Gardner Minshew's league.
Minshew does not qualify for the waiver wire column, though, anymore. He has finally gotten above the 50% threshold.
There you go.
Last thought here, and because this is not a fantasy comment, but I bet the Colts have a chance to become the organization that just starts churning out head coaching candidates left and right. What they're doing right now, the way that they have kept things afloat, hats off to both Nick Sirianni, the offensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator, guys, a couple of studs right there.
Yeah, you know what? And hats off to, but like, I'm not a Colts fan or anything, but like, what Chris Ballard has done there is nothing short of incredible, especially because I think people forget what a disaster it was with the whole Josh McDaniels thing. And then they wound up with Frank Reich, and people are like, oh, your second choice or fourth choice coach, whatever.
Dude,
Frank Reich's amazing.
Dude, he's incredible. So is Chris Ballard. But dude, like, they survived Ryan Grigson.
Yeah.
Like, that right there, like,
dude,
eighth wonder of the world.
Yeah. Anyway, hats off to the entire Colts organization because
they built a great team with a great offensive line that provides a lot of protection for Jacoby Brissett. But what does real protection mean for our listeners? See what I did there, Matthew?
You can get all of the latest innovation in smart. Secret Squirrel, we need a drop to like
best of?
Strong segue or something like that. We need some sort of like, you know, to
yeah.
You know we
that's
start,
another award winning segue. We need something to sort of like
follow around the horn with like arbitrary point system and just like field like, you know, hey, you make a funny, you have a great segue, you get something like you get
that's
arbitrary
a little bit
number.
Like or like are you a Harry Potter fan? Have you read
yeah,
ever
of course.
Right? So
oh,
10
yeah.
points for Gryffindor.
Like
there
it.
You go.
Okay.
5 points for Field.
In this scenario, I just want to know which house you think you would be, Matthew, because I see you as a Slytherin.
I know. You know what? Screw you.
You.
I'm totally
so true. You're so
I am
right.
not a Slytherin. Screw
yeah,
you guys.
I can see it.
I'm absolutely Gryffindor. I am absolutely Gryffindor.
Gryffindor is the hero.
No,
you're the anti-hero.
I'm the people. No,
no,
I'm not the
Field
anti-hero.
Is the hero.
Are you kidding me? He's a Ravenclaw through and through.
A Ravenclaw.
Oh yes. 100%.
Spicy enough.
I don't know. I could see him being a Hufflepuff.
Yes.
I could see him being a Hufflepuff as well. Two polls on Fantasy Focus at Fantasy Focus. What?
No, I was going to say, before you go to that, any poll you want to pitch out there, so you might be more fun to party with in Vegas, according
yes,
to them. That might not, that doesn't necessarily qualify you for a better house.
I understand.
I think Slytherin might
listen,
be a
I'm
good
the people's
place to
champ. We voted on this already. I'm the people's champs. I'm absolutely a Gryffindor. 100%. Do me a favor, Thirsty Kyle.
Yeah, let's
throw
do
up
this.
on the Fantasy Focus. If Matthew Berry were at Hogwarts, the sorting hat would say he is in what house? And give him the four choices and do the same thing for Field Yates.
Interestingly, I feel like there are about 37 online quizzes you can take that also tell you what house you are. You know, like one of those websites.
Yeah, but these are the people that know us the best.
Okay, gotcha. Anyways, what does Real Protection mean for our listeners?
Yeah.
You can get all the latest innovation in smart home security from ADT combined with 24/7 monitoring for the most trusted name in home security. You get a team of professionals designing and installing a secure smart home just for you. You get 18,000 employees safeguarding them with connections to first responders. You get the nation's number one smart home security provider. You can get a secure smart home with everything from video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks and lights, controlled from the ADT app or the sound of your voice. You can get professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. You get a system custom designed to fit your home, and you can get safety on the go, in the car, or when the kids are at school with the ADT Go app with an SOS button. Fantasy Focus is brought to you by and sponsored by our good friends at ADT. All right, back now, and we go to a moment that I have been looking forward to. Matthew, you may not have been, but I am looking forward to this opportunity right here because you know something, Matthew? Chase Edmonds had himself quite a day yesterday.
Yeah,
he had three touchdowns on the ground. He added two catches for 24 yards, 35 fantasy points. That's right, Chase Edmonds, star running back for the Arizona Cardinals, the guy who has been starting for them every single week. He has been the workhorse for this offense. He has been the go-to guy. He has been the most exciting part of this Cardinals offense. It's not Larry Fitzgerald, future Hall of Famer. It's not Kyler Murray, number one pick in the NFL draft. Nope, it's been Chase. What?
Yeah.
Chase Edmonds? What is this nonsense?
So here's what happened.
I'm just going to give you the floor, by the way.
I appreciate this.
Yeah. I'm going to check my phone.
I was okay.
Okay.
I just want to be clear. I was actually okay for a while.
Okay.
Which is, so David Johnson gets like the first carry and, you know, look, Adam Schefter reports.
No,
let's set the scene.
Okay.
So Adam Schefter reports Sunday morning.
Yep.
David Johnson expected to play.
Right. He was correct.
He had been questionable. He was right. David Johnson, who's questionable coming into the game, is expected to play. Okay. Understand this, that in week six, David Johnson missed practice on Wednesday. Yep. He missed practice on Thursday.
Yep.
He got a limited practice on Friday.
Yeah.
And then
played,
he went
right?
out, had 18 touches for 102 total yards
wow.
and two touchdowns.
Wow. That was week six.
Had a monster game
so
in week six.
He's banged up, but he still does
He's banged up.
Things.
He still went out. Yep. Right again. Missed two practices, a limited practice on Friday, goes out, 18 touches, 102 total yards, two touchdowns. Then in week seven, doesn't practice on Wednesday, but gets a limited practice Thursday.
It's improvement relative to week
six. A limited practice on Friday.
Yeah, also good.
Is expected to play. He's active. So you would see he's actually practiced more in week seven
right.
than he has in week six. And so you sort of expect, getting all the people, you know, Adam Schefter and all the people that cover the team.
Yeah.
He makes the trip to New York. He's going to play.
Right.
Right. And sure enough, come game time, he is active.
Yeah, active. That's right. Ready
he
to
gets,
go.
He gets one carry. Comes out, and then it is the Chase Edmonds show. Who
by the way, hold on.
Yeah.
The Cardinals never made an announcement following this one carry. Like, hey, after that one carry, David Johnson got hurt. He's questionable return. No, nothing. Crickets. Coaching decision.
Coaching decision. Right. Nothing. So then he comes out, and 126 yards, three touchdowns, two catches for 24 yards.
This is Edmonds.
35 fantasy points. Chase Edmonds awesome has day. An amazing day. His three touchdown runs of 20 yards or more are the same in one game. Are the amount that David Johnson's had his entire NFL career.
Wow.
Like, it's an unbelievable day for Chase Edmonds. Yeah. Like, he's the toast of the town. So, okay, that's frustrating, obviously, because everyone started David Johnson. I believe he was 97% started in ESPN leagues. And then the Arizona Cardinals Twitter account, at AZ Cardinals, tweets out at 3:05 p.m. on October 20th with a cute little graphic. It's got a cute little, cute little
it's
graphic.
It's a little fox holding the sign, right?
Yeah. Little fox holding the sign. It's just a little fox, cute, whatever it is. You should have started Chase Edmonds in fantasy.
Oh, you should have, huh?
Really?
Is that right?
Thanks for that heads up. Oh, I really should have. I should have started Chase Edmonds in fantasy. Based on what? Because he's actually, David Johnson had actually practiced more the week before, right?
Yeah.
He'd actually practiced more in week 7 than he had in week 6 when he completely went off. Like, no kidding. Like, oh, like, we're dumb. Like, fantasy managers are dumb. Should have started Chase Edmonds in fantasy. Screw you, Arizona Cardinals Twitter handle. Should have started Chase Edmonds. No crap. Obviously. You think? Because I got news for you. And this is what so makes me so angry, right? Because then everyone reacts the way you think it would, right? I literally tweet something. I quote tweet this and say, like, please favorite this if you hate this as much as I do. I'm over 15,000 likes on that tweet. Okay, so then the Arizona Cardinals Twitter handle at some point says something like, to all the angry fantasy football owners out there, just enjoy the win. Just enjoy the win. No, you know what? Don't you dare troll us. Screw you. You know what? Guess what? You know who's been a fan of the Arizona Cardinals? You know who pays attention to Arizona Cardinals football? Not actual fans, because I got news for you. You guys have been absolutely brutal, all right? You've got one division title in the last 9 seasons. You have three last place finishes over that stretch. Since the beginning of 2016, you have the 9th worst winning percentage. You have 6 different losses by 25 or more points. That's third most in the NFL. You have a negative 241 point differential. That's 5th worst in the NFL since 2016. Okay? Right? You guys, you're 3-3. Oh, you're 3-3. The record of the teams you guys have beaten, the combined record of the teams you guys have beaten, 3-18. Beat somebody real and come talk to me. Oh, just enjoy the win. Just enjoy the win. You know who cares about Trent Sherfield and Keyshawn Johnson, the other Keyshawn Johnson, or Pharoh Cooper? You guys are rolling Pharoh Cooper out there. And you know who knows that? Fantasy players, not Arizona Cardinals fans, because it's brutal. Somehow you've made Kyler Murray, the most exciting prospect to come out of college, into a game manager. What the hell is that? And I got news for you, okay? Oh, you should have started Chase Edmonds. No crap. Like, we're a bunch of dummies. Like, oh, we didn't know. Of course. If you guys had been honest with us, we obviously would have started Chase Edmonds. And I got news for you, right? I don't actually care. I don't actually care because that's gamesmanship. You guys don't want to say, like, hey, David Johnson is going to a little bit banged up and it's going to be the Chase Edmonds show. You don't want to give that out because of a competitive advantage. Okay, that's frustrating, but that's part of the game. That's part of the game we play, and we deal with that. But then to come out after the game and say, from Cliff Kingsbury, to say, like, oh, David Johnson was only going to play in an emergency. What? Well, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. If he's that banged up, if he's that hurt, he's your franchise. By the way, I've interviewed David Johnson a number of times. He's been a friend of the podcast. He's a friend of fantasy. And you're going to risk David Johnson on one stupid carry if he's only healthy enough to practice, to play in an emergency? Sign a guy from the practice squad. What the hell are you doing, Kingsbury? And you ask me that. What are you doing about Kingsbury? Cliff Kingsbury, who had Patrick Mahomes. He had Patrick Mahomes on his team, right? And Patrick Mahomes for 3 years in Texas Tech, and Kingsbury's winning percentage was 4-32 with Patrick Mahomes. Good Lord. And that's the guy you're trolling me with? Cliff Kingsbury? Are you kidding me? By the way, this is one team, the Arizona Cardinals. Hey, get this. The Arizona Cardinals are one of only 2 teams in the NFL with a .500 or better record, but a negative point differential. They're actually being outscored. The offensive genius Cliff Kingsbury is actually being outscored 4.4 points per game. That's a point worse than the 2-5 Broncos. Offensive genius. Listen, the reason you guys beat the Giants was because of your defense. Like, you can't tell me Cliff Kingsbury gets any credit for Patrick Peterson, who, by the way, if I remember correctly, Field, actually wanted out of Arizona. Didn't he demand a trade at some point? He wanted to get the hell out of there because that's the kind of team you guys have. Yeah, and then you guys say, oh, just enjoy the win. Yeah, just enjoy the win. I don't want to enjoy the win because I don't care if you guys win. I care about my fantasy points. And you know what? You know what? For you guys to sit there and troll me and every other fantasy player with, should have started Chase Edmonds. Screw you! Obviously. You think? You know, I just, it's unbelievable to me. I don't know who runs the Arizona, the @AZ Cardinals Twitter handle, but if that was me, if that was my organization, and I had somebody in my organization that tweeted something like that, that brought that much hate and that much negative attention to my organization, that person would be gone. That, I mean, I don't understand. Like, I never want anyone to be fired, but good God, that's the most tone-deaf tweet I think I've ever seen in my life. Because the only people that care about your stupid 3-3 Arizona Cardinals are people that play fantasy. I assure you. You know what? You guys spent a second-round pick at Andy Isabella, who's got two catches this year. You had to go out and you had to dig up the ghost of Michael Crabtree. It was so bad. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, don't sit there and should have started Chase Edmonds. Like, we don't understand right. Football. I officially hate the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, Matthew Berry! Woo! So should I cancel Cliff's appearance later on in the show, or do you want to keep that?
I think we'll pass on that.
All right.
Hold on. You know, like how Joe Buck lets the moment breathe in sports? I'm just trying to let the moment breathe here for a second. No, You're good. You got it all out. You've got that red flush, kind of like when a freshman in college has a few too many natty ices the first night of school.
Could someone bring me some water? I could use some water.
I've got some coffee. Would you like that instead?
No, I don't want some water. What I want is the Arizona Cardinals Twitter handle not to troll me.
After consecutive...
Did you know the Cardinals are 17th in points per game? They're 21st in yards per play. Offensive genius
Cliff
Kingsbury.
I didn't know that, but I got the rest of the tenor of the rant already.
I just want everyone to know that. Like, just whatever.
After consecutive big games.
Like their bottom half of the NFL in points per game.
There's only one way to pivot from that, and it's to just roll right into it.
I mean, they're basically bottom 10 in yards per play.
Stephon Diggs had 7 catches for 142 yards yesterday. That was awesome. 21.2 fantasy points. Back-to-back games with 7 or more catches. He now has, in those two games, 309 total receiving yards. 7 catches and 100 receiving yards in 3 of his last 4 weeks. He has been a star. Squeaky wheel gets the grease. Adam Thielen left yesterday's game early after a brilliant touchdown catch. It's a hamstring issue. I think, Matthew, some people might be saying, I was so frustrated riding the Stephon Diggs wave the first 3 weeks of the season. Is now the time to move on from him because his value may have been reestablished that you get a top 12 or so wide receiver in return? Or, given the Thielen injury, given how hot Kirk Cousins is, given how talented Stephon Diggs is now the time to just say, you know something? I think I'm good. Stephon Diggs, you have earned my trust. You have earned my admiration. You are the anti-Arizona Cardinals of Minnesota right. Vikings receivers. I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Look, it's hard for us to sit here and recommend Kirk Cousins as a pickup and somebody. I mean, you just picked Kirk Cousins more than Sam Darnold the rest of the year. Like, so I assume you are pro Stephon Diggs
because
if you think Diggs is a mirage, by the way, as big as his game is, it should have been even bigger. He dropped a touchdown. Still a tough catch, but He should
not
have had it.
Not an obvious drop.
Obvious drop, but like a receiver of Diggs' talent should have been able to catch that. And I agree with you.
It's simple for me.
Is there going to be some inconsistency? Of course there is, but their schedule gets pretty good. And like, it's not like he's a flash in the pan. Stephon Diggs has been a top 10-ish wide receiver, you know, for quite some time now. And so we know about the talent, and now the offense is much more balanced. And especially, by the way, we don't know the extent to Adam Thielen. Maybe he's there Thursday. Maybe he misses a few games.
Doesn't it seem unlikely a player would leave a game on Sunday and be available on Thursday? Makes me think that it's going to be the Stephon Diggs show as the number one wide receiver against Washington on Thursday. Matthew, sometimes we ask these questions because we want a super nuanced answer. With Diggs, I think this is kind of easy.
I think he's a real deal. I don't mind you trading him, but you need to understand that he's a top 20 wide receiver. He's a very, he's a legit mid-tier wide receiver too. He's what you drafted him to be.
Yep.
And you should want that value or more in return
if
you end up dealing him.
He has certainly found a way to turn the narrative around for his season in very short order. You can guarantee this much. The Vikings don't seem likely to trade him as we have water deposited here
for Matthew.
Now's a good time
for maybe
we can
thirsty
have Daniel's
Kyle,
live read right now while
By the
Matthew
way, thirsty
hydrates.
Kyle gave me a couple of Arizona Cardinals stats. I didn't know what I was going to say. I just knew when I saw that tweet, I got so angry, Field.
Okay.
I got so angry at that tweet.
Trust me, I thought it was super lame too.
I just thought it was, I couldn't believe the tone deafness of that tweet and then also the, you know, to all the angry fans. Both tweets, so incredibly tone deaf.
Daniel, if you'd be so kind to move us along, would you please tell us about...
No, I'll do it. I got you.
The next one. Okay. This one's Daniel.
Yeah, you take some time to breathe and drink that water.
Get some water.
Right.
We talked QB once.
I'm going to block at AZ Cardinals on Twitter.
Yeah, probably not a bad idea, to be honest with you right
now. Probably pretty good.
We talk QB ones, RB ones, wide receiver ones, all kind of ones every show, but the true number one of our bathroom routine, Dollar Shave Club. Their fantasy formula is simple. Develop, craft, refine everything, and only make products that are of the highest quality. They have everything you need for an amazing shave. The Executive Razor is solid, weighty, feels good in your hand. You know what I mean? It's not some flimsy piece of plastic. Don't you hate using a gunked up razor? Shaving cream and hair and skin and who knows what's getting all stuck in it. That's why people love using their shave butter. It's specifically formulated to be lightweight. It's like a hot knife cutting through butter. Plus, it's full of vitamins that keep your skin healthy and hydrated. As a Dollar Shave Club member, you never have to waste time at the store wondering if what you're getting is any good. You know what you're getting is the highest quality. Dollar Shave Club isn't some sleeper. It's a keeper. I got to say, they did a real good job with the fantasy references in this.
It was well done right there, yeah.
Put their quality to the test. Their ultimate shave starter set has basically everything you need for an amazing shave. The Executive Razor, the Shave Butter, the Prep Scrub, and the Post Shave Do. The best part? You can try it for just $5. After that, they restock. The restock box ships regular size products at regular prices. Get your ultimate starter set for just $5 at dollarshaveclub.com/FFF. That's dollarshaveclub.com/FFF.
So every week we have weird things that happen in fantasy football.
Before we move on, hey, are we putting up, I want the poll on Field too, what house he should be in. I see I'm only the one up there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got Field. I got you.
Double poll coming at Fantasy Focus. So every week things happen unexpectedly in fantasy football. Not just Chase Edmonds dominating and having 35 fantasy points, but players who semi-pop out of nowhere. So let's get through three, Matthew, and I'll kind of give you the opportunity to describe it as something, nothing, or I'm filing it away, but I'm not doing something about it at this time. Devontae Parker now has three straight games with a touchdown catch. I know, this is the same Devontae Parker, and as I wrote in the waiver wire column that will be up later today on ESPN.com, we've all been aboard the carousel that is the Devontae Parker experience prior in his career. This is his fifth NFL season. Are you buying into the idea that maybe, possibly, Devontae Parker has become something? Because here's what we know about the Dolphins. They're going to throw it a ton every game because they're going to either be losing or playing a close game seemingly every Sunday.
So, yes and no.
Okay.
Okay. So, if the question is, do I think Devontae Parker could potentially be a usable fantasy asset? Yep. Yes, like do I think from this point forward? Do I think he'll? Do I think there'll be weeks where he has productive fantasy days? Sure. Do I think it's a little bit of a fluke? No. Do I want any part of him? No.
Interesting.
Because fantasy, as you just saw from my conversation about the Cardinals.
I feel like I'm so emotionally spent.
I feel like there's other points I should have made. I feel like there's other points I should have made.
It's actually pretty remarkable that they only had two running backs on the game day roster. Two.
Right.
Anyways, we got to keep going.
No, and David Johnson should have been inactive, and it's just like, I mean, like, here's the thing. It's not like, this is the point I should have made, and I didn't because I just got so worked up. But it's not like fantasy managers didn't have Chase Edmonds on their roster or that we wouldn't have known. Like, they're just like, the Twitter account sort of supposes like you guys, this, he's a total unknown. You know what I mean? And like, but we knew he had something special. Like, no kidding. We've been talking about Chase Edmonds since last year. Like, we know who this guy is. Understand, fantasy managers, like, anyway, I'm going to all, I'm gonna get all worked up.
Back to Devontae Parker. Three straight games with the touchdown,
open invitation for whoever runs the @AZ Cardinals Twitter account to come on this show and debate me. Okay. I'm more than open invitation to that person, whoever that is.
We'll embrace that. Devontae Parker has three straight games with a touchdown. But I'm more interested than you are, is what I'll say.
I'm just like, the quarterback situation continues to switch. Like, it was Fitzpatrick, and then it's Josh, and then it's
Fitzy's
Josh Rosen.
Fine
and
over
it's
the past like, game and a
Fitzy
half.
Fitzy is always fine, and then he and then he's not.
Right.
There's a reason he's Fitzy. But my point is that I guess when I sit here and I look at like somebody like Zach Pascal, who we're going to talk about in a second, give me Zach Pascal. Like, give me a guy in a better offense, better offense, better quarterback, and whose talent I trust more. Devontae Parker Devontae Parker coming out of, I think, Louisville, right?
Louisville.
Was, 14th you know, from Louisville. Right. So Devontae Parker was a stud coming out of college. Like, I could not wait to draft this guy. And then every year he's been a disappointment. And so, yeah, he's scored in three straight, but just, I just don't want to count on the Miami offense for anything.
Right.
Does
so,
it, like, we're going to look at the end of the year and Devontae Parker will be a top 40-ish and maybe better fantasy wide receiver, but the idea of starting him and counting on him in anything but the deepest of and most desperate of leagues, like, I get it. I'm with you. I'm just, fantasy's an emotional game, as you just saw, and like, someone else, I'm okay if somebody else in my league has Devontae Parker.
So my contention is he is an ad in a 14 team or larger league.
Fair.
And I think that relative to Zach Pascal and Alex Erickson, who we'll mention in just a second, Matthew, is that at least now we have two things. A larger sample size, right? I mean, every week he is heavily involved for the Dolphins.
Sure.
Second of all, this is a team that even if they wanted to run the football a ton, can't. They're
right.
just so bad that they're not going to be able to run the football 30 times in a game. It's so not competitive.
And hey, you know, and the other thing is, again, to your point, right? So Devontae Parker, who is a, you know, an emotional player, let's leave it at that, and It's a new regime in Miami, right? So, you know, Brian Flores and offense coordinator Chad O'Shea, like, so there's easily a chance that Devontae Parker, whatever, there was a disconnect with previous regimes that isn't there now, that maybe there's more of a connection that Brian Flores and Chad O'Shea have figured out a way to get the most out of Devontae Parker, whose talent has never been questioned. You know, the consistency and sort of, you know, there's other pieces to it there. But so to that point, yeah, I get it. But I prefer Zach Pascal.
So here's the reason why I'm less in on Zach Pascal as of this time is that in Indianapolis, I think all things being equal, their number two wide receiver would be Paris Campbell. Once he gets healthy, he gets up to speed. Maybe that takes a full year. Second of all, when Indy does what they want to do, they are running the football all the time, right?
Sure.
They are one of the run heaviest teams in the NFL, sixth highest so far. Mm-hmm. And I saw some quotes from Frank Reich to Albert Breer of the MMQB this morning basically saying, like, we thought that what Houston was going to tempt us to do was win with Jacoby Brissett's arm yesterday, and that's what we did. They know what the book is on them, which is why I just think that, you know, if one of these players is more likely to see seven targets per week, I don't think it's close. I think it's definitely Devontae Parker. Pascal may be a comparably talented player, and probably has a more stable situation, right? Better chance for touchdowns because the Colts are a better offense. But just when you're playing a player in a 14-team or larger league as like a quasi-desperation flex play, I think I'm banking more on opportunity than I am on total skill, if that makes sense.
I guess so. I mean, the thing about Pascal is over 11 fantasy points in three of his four games so far this season. He had six catches in week number seven. I get
after
it. They're a run-heavy team.
The entire season.
Yeah, of course. I mean, to your point, it's taken a little while. But we've always said we thought a number two wide receiver would emerge opposite T.Y. Hilton. In the offseason, we thought maybe it's going to be Devin Funchess. They signed him to the big deal. He gets hurt. They also draft Paris Campbell. I'm like, well, maybe it's going to be Paris Campbell.
Yep.
And then Paris Campbell gets hurt. He's been a little bit inconsistent his rookie year. And maybe it's Deion Kane. Maybe it's Chester Rogers. Well, maybe it's Zach Pascal, right?
Maybe, yeah.
Who has produced when he's gotten opportunities throughout this year. And so, again, it's a better offense. It's a better quarterback. And I guess I just don't – I get the argument for Parker. I do. I don't love counting on an offense that is dysfunctional, and that you're basically saying, like, come on, junk time, which will happen with the offense. I get sure. it. I don't know.
Well,
I
mean, maybe the next conversation can be a quick one as well, because Alex Erickson was awesome for the Bengals yesterday. 8 for 137 after 11 catches for 109 yards in weeks 1 through 6 total. The Bengals are really lucky the Dolphins have been
as abysmal as they've been.
Yeah, and like more transparent with their plan, right? The Dolphins are not hiding what they're trying to do. The Bengals are just bad, but they're 0-7. Yeah. The Bengals are just an abomination, so I can't imagine.
They are, but I will say this. I like their Twitter account.
Hey,
Cincinnati Bengals. They're not trolling fantasy players.
That's right. Did they put up a sign? You should just heard Alex Erickson yesterday?
No, they did not.
They did not.
There
that
you go.
Smart by them. Well done, Bengals.
At Cincinnati Bengals, whatever they are. Yeah.
Well, Matthew, can we just land here? Once is just an aberration. If it happens again next week, we'll pay more.
It's just too, like, to me, the Alex Erickson thing was more concerning about Tyler Boyd and Auden Tate, who, you know, obviously
Tate
were fantasy
was three
productive.
For 65. He was fine.
He was fine, yeah. But, like, I wish they'd looked for him a little bit more. I feel like every time Auden Tate catches one, you're like, wow, what an amazing catch. Yeah. I don't understand why they don't.
6 targets yesterday. I think this is a flash in the pan from Alex Erickson.
And by the way, at some point, AJ Green's going to come back. So I just, right. Yep. So they play the Rams in London this week, and then they're on a bye. So you wonder if does AJ Green come back for that game after the bye for the Ravens game?
The Ravens would be the earliest we'd see AJ Green. That's my guess. Yep.
So we'll see. Anyway,
well,
but yes,
we
both agree it's a little bit of a fluky game for Alex Erickson.
Let's keep it on the Bengals with Joe Mixon, who actually managed 7.4 fantasy points yesterday.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, it's a miracle. It really is, because he had 10 carries for 2 yards. Think about that. His average carry yesterday traveled 3.6 inches. 10 carries for 2 yards yesterday.
Show the people at home what 3.6 inches is.
I don't know. Is that like probably about, I don't know. Matthew, you're such a jerk. Joe Mixon. 10 carries, 2 yards, a 2-yard touchdown catch.
I just
saved
looked
him
at Daniel.
Yesterday.
That's all I did.
Okay. Gotcha.
All I did was look at Daniel.
Hello, sailor.
Just looked at Daniel.
His upcoming schedule is the Rams. We just mentioned
But it's not a lot. It's 3.6 inches. It's not a lot.
It's a bad number. Pathetic. Joe Mixon.
Especially when you talk about running backs.
Joe Mixon. Should you drop him? Should you even be on your bench? Like, what do you do here with Joe Mixon? How can you possibly play him? You can't play him. You can't play Joe Mixon. Saved by the grace of a 2-yard touchdown catch yesterday.
We've been saying for a while that we think Mixon is a sell high. And now.
Wait, we have?
I certainly have. I've talked about Joe Mixon like I want out of the Joe Mixon business for a long time.
Hold on.
Yeah, but it's not a sell high because he's not high.
No. I believe what I said is going into the Arizona game, because the Arizona Cardinals stink. I said going into the Arizona game, I said, look, I think he's going to have a good game here. It's probably going to be his best game of the season. And after this game, try to sell him for what you can get.
That's fair. You did say that. I will agree with that.
I have a good memory. I don't remember anything about us talking about him as a consistent sell high.
But I've been talking for a while that you will back me up, right?
I am 100%. You did say that. Keith acknowledges.
Yeah, you thought he would have a good game, and therefore you would be able to sell high on him. The problem is he did not have a good game.
I think he had one of his best games of the year, though. I mean, he's been brutal all year. Like, for him, and we've talked about the problems with the offensive line. We've talked about the fact that when they get behind, which happens often, that Giovanni Bernard is actually running more routes and getting more targets, and it's like a running back by committee in the passing game. And so
it's terrible.
It's brutal. And so, yeah, I mean, my sort of take is like, if you can get 50 cents on the dollar for him, take it. If you get 40 cents on the dollar for him.
If you could get anybody that could play in your lineup, I don't care if it's a kicker I consider for Joe Mixon right now.
Yeah.
You get a top kicker, go for it. You get Justin Tucker or Matt Prater right now, do it.
Joey Sly?
Seriously, with his muscles?
Yeah.
That's what they call it. Joey Sly's got big muscles for a
kicker. Does he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Joe Mixon, I mean,
I just know
you
he's
can't
got
play
a lot
him.
Of fantasy points.
You can't play the Rams next week going to buy the Ravens.
Yeah, listen to that. By the way, you hear that at Arizona Cardinals? Like, we know freaking kickers. Like, we're sitting here talking about kickers. You know what I mean? Oh, I should have started Chase Edmonds. I'm going to get all started again. Just like we don't know football.
Allow us to show you the most electric clip in the history of television. Some are saying it will be Grammy nominated. That would not make sense because Grammys are for music. Oscar nominated. Well, that's for movies, right, Daniel? Emmy nominated.
Maybe we get a Streamy.
Can we get a Streamy and an Emmy? For those of you watching the live stream, check out what I'm talking about.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010.
Hand over the Streamy right now for that award-winning moment. Let's get back on track here. And has Ryan Tannehill made Corey Davis fantasy relevant again, Matthew? Because yesterday, Ryan Tannehill made his Titans starting debut. They won this game. Or maybe the Chargers found a way to lose this game. Either way.
Tannehill or Tannawin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was,
that's
did
that's
not
right
work.
Right
that
there.
Did not work.
Oh, pretty good right snap. There. You were on
get
the
T-shirts out. Send it to the copyright office. No. Oh, yeah. Nope. Ryan Tannehill, tighten
up.
You
were on a bender up until that point. I think that one might not be one to store in the archives. But
by the
way,
I'm begging people here. I'm like, so far, Hufflepuff is winning. Like, don't put me in Hufflepuff, you animals. Like, do me a favor. Like
Matthew, the sorting hat puts people in the house they're supposed to be in, all right?
I'm definitely a Gryffindor, but I even prefer Slytherin. But don't make me a Hufflepuff, you animals. Like, sitting here. Like, I'm just sitting here looking at my Twitter feed. You know what I mean? And Scotty Rowland goes, I need to change my vote to Slytherin after this rant, LOL. So anyway, thank you. Yeah, like, whatever. Like, just come on now, people. I'm throw a guy a bone here. That's what I'm asking. Like, don't put me in Hufflepuff.
Corey Davis was really solid yesterday, 6 for 80 with a touchdown. That's good for 20 fantasy points. Now, Corey Davis isn't available in 56% of leagues. He's a player that I recently put on the waiver wire column, Matthew, and it was the idea of Corey Davis is more talented than players that are sitting on your bench right now. I get 100%. He's inconsistent, but when you have a bye week and you're sitting there and you're sorting between, like, you know, Devontae Parker or Corey Davis, roll the dice on a player that you think is a super, super talent.
Corey Davis on another team with a very good quarterback is a fantasy superstar.
Correct.
He is an unbelievable NFL player. And so
that has been hamstrung by his quarterback play.
And offensive play calling.
Yes.
Let's be clear.
Yesterday.
Because it's run heavy. But look, and we've seen it, like the two-touchdown game against the Patriots in the playoffs. Like, we've seen bursts of, like, oh.
Yes, correct.
Oh,
we sure have. So we've seen,
you know what
enough
I mean,
of,
like,
Corey Davis to be semi-believers in him. Full-time believers in him as a real yeah. NFL player, semi-believers in him, fantasy player. Yesterday, Ryan Tannehill seemed to breathe some life into that passing offense, Matthew. 6 for 80 with
Tannehill
touchdown.
Tannehill.
For Corey Davis from Ryan Tannehill, to the point that I'm saying, let's get Corey Davis off the waiver wire column.
100%, yeah.
Let's get him above 50%. I'm not saying you have to thrust him back into your lineup again next week. There's no guarantee he goes off for 20 points, but wouldn't you at least like to take your chances with a player of that caliber?
Our live feed for people that are following us at Fantasy Focus. You can always watch the show, of
course,
at Fantasy Focus on Twitter or YouTube, the ESPN YouTube channel, ESPN app. Tannehill.
Ooh, interesting.
Ryan Tannehill. I don't know that I'm there yet on Tannehill.
I thought Tannehill was better.
Tannehill? That's not
bad. I like that one right there. Ryan Tannehill is my pick so far. Anyways, Matthew, we're buying this a little bit.
But, you know, on the bench, Marcus Mariota should Tannehill.
Ooh.
Wow.
You are on fire right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Would a Hufflepuff come up with that? Hell to the no. Come on. Come on, people. I'm a begging here. All right. Look, Ryan Tannehill.
I like it.
I have a semi-hot take. Give me A.J. Brown over some of these other guys that you're talking about. I'd rather A.J. Brown than Devontae Parker.
Agree with that necessarily.
I think A.J. Brown is also another guy that, like, again, on another team, is a fantasy
really
superstar. I think he's a super
with
talented
Brown
player.
Is just how much he's playing so far this season relative to Corey Davis, who's virtually an every snap player versus A.J. Brown.
You
not
and
quite the same number of snap shares.
If you're rostering a Titans wide receiver and it's only one, it's Corey Davis. 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
I'm merely saying that if Corey Davis is rostered already in your league and you're sitting there and you're looking like, do I pick up Zach Pascal? Do I pick up Devontae Parker, do I pick up A.J. Brown? Listen, you're the man that writes the free agent finds column, so we'll wait to see how you sort of rank them. But I'm just saying, from my point of view, I prefer A.J. Brown because I think that kid is crazy talented.
He is super talented.
I think
yes.
It's just a matter of, like, and listen, is Ryan Tannehill great? Is Ryan Tannehill amazing? No, but he's better than Marcus Mariota. He's a professional quarterback who's won in the NFL level. So,
encouraging signs yesterday.
Huh?
Encouraging signs for the offense in general. So maybe keep an eye on these Tennessee pass catchers more than we might have expected after one Ryan Tannehill start.
So you say there were encouraging signs from the Titans offense yesterday. Other side of the ball, Melvin Gordon, what was that?
It was an attempt to be as disappointing as you could be in a single NFL game. For those that missed the end game sequence for the Chargers, this is remarkable. So I'll just try to do my best to rehash the play-by-play. Chargers down three late in the game. They have an opportunity to go up. They have the football at like the 18-yard line, maybe?
Something like that, yeah.
I think it's actually first and goal this time. And they throw a pass that Austin Eckler catches and dives for the end zone. It was close, but his butt landed like a yard short.
Sure.
So they end up with an opportunity. Second and goal at the 1 yard line. Enough time to run a couple of plays, obviously.
They're out of timeouts.
Out of timeouts.
Important.
Right. Out of timeouts. So every play call you make needs to require a subsequent play call behind it. If you are going to, like, if you're going to run the football.
If you don't get in. Right. You don't get in. So, like, the thought process was, like, why don't you throw? Because if it's incomplete, then it stops the clock. You get another shot.
No problem there. So, on their next play, they run the football with Melvin Gordon. Now, they did not stop the clock, obviously, because it's a running play. However, it was so close that they reviewed the play to see whether or not he got in. It was ruled that Melvin Gordon, again, came up short. It was the side of his leg, which counts as a knee or an elbow in football, that was down just a matter of inches short.
So now there's like 7 seconds left.
So now they go back to the well and they have the opportunity to run another play. And what do? They give the football to Melvin Gordon again. What does he do? He fumbles. The ball's recovered in the end zone. The Titans win 23-20.
But Matthew,
we can talk about this. We can talk about.
You tweeted something about this, and I completely agree. And I would love for, you know, maybe our friend Eric Stengel is out there, diehard Chargers fan, or somebody out there that's you know been a fan of the Bolts,
yeah.
Huh? But just like you said something to the effect of, like, I don't know that there's a team in the NFL that has had more disheartening, brutal.
Agonizing was the word.
Agonizing,
that I used.
Yeah.
And
agonizing
I said,
losses.
I don't know there is a team. I said, I swear the Chargers have more agonizing losses than any team that I can remember. Now.
And I completely agree with this, by the way.
But I heard a lot of people. I heard a lot of Browns fans. I heard a lot of Falcons fans. Yeah. I heard a lot of Lions fans. I had this conversation with Keith beforehand. The Browns have lost more, for sure.
Sure.
But they've gotten waxed a ton, right?
Exactly. Like, same with my Redskins. We're right. Never close. We don't lose agonizingly. We do dumb things. We do boneheaded things. But we're usually, it's like 30-17.
The
like,
Falcons have
close.
The worst loss of anybody I can think of. Obviously,
of
the
course.
28-3 is the worst loss. That's the most difficult to recover from. They have not yet recovered. The Lions have a beef, I think. The Lions are at least in the conversation, but the Chargers...
I mean, listen, you think about the Saints and the bad pass interference call in the championship game last year. Could have gone to the Super Bowl. I mean, that affects legacies and that kind
of
stuff.
Of course,
and I get it.
But still,
you think about the Patriots lost in the Super Bowl, David Tyree. Like,
sure,
you know what I mean?
But still, I think the Chargers
I'm with
are
you.
The win. The Chargers
100%.
Have this crown, not necessarily a fantasy
football. So here's my question. This is what I wanted somebody to do. Was I wanted someone to rank the most agonizing losses
Chargers losses
of all time. Because they've had some crazy, ones with penalties and missed field goals and wacky plays and like...
So many Philip Rivers memes over the time.
I mean, just... But anyway...
And gifts.
I don't know if last night was, or yesterday afternoon was the most agonizing loss in Chargers history, but it's got to be
top
five.
It
was
very Chargers. It was very on brand for them. And here's what I'm going to say, Matthew, is... And I've already made this concession or this... I've figured out that I've lost this battle is that here's the good news for Austin Eckler is they're just playing him at wide receiver now. They're just basically, yeah. they're throwing him the ball so much. 7 for 118 in the touchdown yesterday, split out wide, getting 5 carries. I will say this as a ball carrier, I can understand some of the value of Austin Eckler, of Melvin Gordon getting more carries than Austin Eckler. Some of the value. Austin Eckler, he's a small guy, right? And when he gets bottled up, he gets bottled up. 5 rushes for 7 yards, obviously. There's not a ton of yards after contact. But man, Melvin Gordon does not look inspiring at all right now. Until further notice, Matthew, I think from a fantasy perspective...
They're 0-3 with Melvin Gordon.
But you know what they should do, though? Until further notice, Matthew, you need to continue to... Just start Austin Eckler.
Yeah.
Start him. Right? I mean,
yeah.
the value is too great there. It's too great.
He's the only running back with 3 or more catches in every single one of his team's games so far this season. He's on a pace for 112 catches so far this year. And so, literally, just as a pass catcher, forget the running.
Okay.
As a pass catcher, here's his pace. 112 receptions, 1,115 yards,
insane.
9 touchdowns. That's basically 2018 Travis Kelce.
It's insane, Matthew. He is unbelievable as a pass catcher. I just hope that they continue to utilize him in that role and not that they turn to other players when they get healthier wide receivers.
So here's a question for you.
Okay.
Because we both agree, Austin Ekeler, and we've been saying this. I mean, it's one of the reasons why Melvin Gordon made the hate list. I'm like, you know, coming into this week, was like, before I trust Melvin Gordon as a must-start RB and more than just kind of a cross your fingers and hope flex.
Yeah.
I need to see something.
Right.
And nothing I have seen so far, and I don't know that it's all him. It's the play calling. It's the offensive line. It's a lot of things. But nothing that I've seen so far gives you confidence that we get the old Melvin Gordon back anytime soon.
Matthew, I think that not only did Melvin Gordon's holdout not end in getting the contract that he wanted or the trade that he wanted, I think there's a chance that it looks like a potential windfall for him in the point that, like, what's the market going to be for Melvin Gordon after this season? It may have cost him substantial money, and I'm not just talking about fines.
Yeah, yeah, 100%, because they're like, if he'd held out the entire year, you know, the way Le'Veon did, which he couldn't have done because he wouldn't have gotten to free agency, but whatever. But, like, the memory of Melvin Gordon certainly gets more money than what we've seen the last three games get.
Right. In that case, it'd be the rare case of dancing with the devil you don't know.
That's
as opposed to the devil you do know, right?
Right.
What are the chances that the Chargers just give him $1 million to go back to holding out? You know what I mean? Like, it's not the $12 million he wanted, but we were better without you. Here's some money. Please just keep sitting on the sideline.
You know what's, crazy for the Chargers? And I know that, again, they have been agonizing for so many years. The Chiefs were 4-2. Patrick Mahomes got hurt. Now, they won that game 5-2. They're 5-2 right now. The Chiefs have the Packers.
Denver's done.
And the Vikings coming up. There's no, I mean, I don't know. Maybe the Chiefs do find a way and they just keep plowing through their schedule. But would it totally surprise you if the Chiefs are 6-4?
No. There was a chance. There was a chance here for the Chargers.
There was a chance. There was a grand opening. The Chargers have Phillip Rivers in the final year of his contract, which, not that I think he's going to go anywhere, but, like, Phillip Rivers is no spring chicken. Like, take advantage of this window, this opportunity, a one-year slot. You went to Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs last year. This is so disappointing. No longer a fantasy football conversation. Start Austin Ekeler and pray when it comes to Melvin Gordon.
Hang on, but just as long as we're talking about the Chargers and we're talking about the passing game with Austin Ekeler, fourth straight game that wasn't great for Keenan Allen.
I know, don't
worry. And, by the way, so I love Mike Clay, and if he were here, what I would ask him is like, listen, and Mike Clay, you know, Mike Clay is Mr. Regression to the mean,
right?
He is Mr. Regression to the mean, and like, and by the way, he is right a lot more often than he is wrong. Like, a couple weeks ago on Fantasy Football Now, I remember him talking about, hey, Aaron Rodgers, like Aaron Rodgers, and of course, what, 6 touchdowns later from Aaron Rodgers, one, you know, so he is Mr. Regression to the mean, and he is right a lot more than he's wrong, but Fantasy Bowl now, he was like, this is the Mike Williams week. And I feel like he's been saying that for a month now. Yeah, this is the Mike Williams
week. Williams,
like, at what point do we give up on Mike Williams?
Mike Williams is Devontae Parker with 3 extra inches of height.
I gave up on Mike Williams at the start of this season, and I made that very clear on this podcast.
Mike Williams is Devontae Parker at 6'5", right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so my question is like, what do you do with Keenan Allen? Like, I feel like you got to keep starting him. But again, it's been 4 bad weeks.
It has been 4 bad weeks, but you keep riding the gravy train with Keenan Allen because you know that at the end of the season, he's still going to have 100 or so catches, 1,200 yards, and, you know, 7 or 8 touchdowns.
It was a nice game for Hunter Henry, though. That was good to see.
Guy's a total stud.
I was super nervous when they got down in close. I'm like, oh, God, they're going to throw a little screen to Hunter Henry. I'm playing Schefter in the War Room League, and he has Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to end up winning that one because Carson Wentz just killed him, and thank you, Darren Waller the Baller, carried me. But, yes, I was super nervous in the War Room yesterday as thinking that Hunter Henry was going to get a touchdown there at the end. Candidly should have. They shouldn't have. They should have tried to throw it to Henry as opposed to running it with Melvin Gordon. Like, it just doesn't seem like it was particularly smart. Something that is smart.
Oh, 2 points there.
Yep. Is people that sacrifice taste for performance. You don't need it. Stop sacrificing taste for performance when it comes to sports nutrition. The Body Tech brand has flavors as mighty as you are, like cereal-inspired protein and more. All powered by leveled up taste technology and only at the Vitamin Shop. Now you can save on pre-workouts, aminos, protein, and other sups backed by the Body Tech brand's quality promise. You can use the code ESPN2019 for 25% off your entire purchase at vitaminshop.com or in-store until November 30th. The Body Tech brand, no limits. Offer cannot be combined with any other coupons. And just so you know, Vitamin Shoppe is S-H-O-P-P-E. There's a E. Vitamin Shoppe is S-H-O-P-P-E.
It's like old-time English from when you were
growing
up. That's
right, vitaminshoppe.com. I'm surprised you gave the workout read to me, Secret Squirrel.
Well, I saw the word cereal in there, so I thought it would fit well with you.
Fair. Okay, that makes sense. Got it. All
you know something I actually saw? So Matthew did a nice job. We're going to quickly... Two topics left, but I did see Matthew do a, maybe we'll show it on the show this week, his trash talk video opposite of Chris Hemsworth.
Yes.
And Matthew taped it outside of the ESPN Fitness Center. It was literally the closest Matthew has ever come to the ESPN gym in his 12-storied year career here at the company.
We had a lot of fun with that one. Hemsworth was very funny. I thought me and Daniel were very funny. Secret Squirrel makes an appearance in it as well. It's pinned to the top of my Twitter handle if you want to go watch it right now. So go to Matthew Berry TMR and on Twitter, and it's the pinned tweet right now. Need a big game from Carson Wentz. Helped me because Carson Wentz was so brutal Sunday night. He helped me beat Schefter in the War Room League. However, he's my quarterback in the superhero league.
So not so great.
I mean, and I have Chris Godwin and Odell Beckham Jr. on bye this week in that league. I need Philip Dorsett to have the game of his life tonight. Hashtag Monday Night Miracle.
Let's go Philly Dorsett. This one should be easy, Matthew.
Otherwise,
Latavius Murray should be
Hemsworth.
Rostered in 100% of leagues. Yesterday,
yes.
27 for 119, two touchdowns, five catches for 31 yards. Now, there were some late easy points for actually both teams in this game.
Sure.
Short field for the Saints resulted in a touchdown. The Bears finally got their offense going when they were down by like 27 points in the fourth quarter, but Latavius Murray shows that he is one of the best, most capable fill-in running backs in the NFL. That Saints offensive line is very good. We think Alvin Kamara could return sometime soon, but after missing yesterday, if Latavius Murray is a starting running back for the Saints again this week against the Arizona Cardinals, top 10 play this week. Ish.
Yeah, I mean, but we've been saying this for a while. You know, I mean, like, if you have Alvin Kamara on your team and you didn't have Latavius Murray, that's on you. Like, we've been saying this, like, Tony Pollard needs to be rostered in 100% of leagues if you have, because Ezekiel Elliott's rostered in 100% of leagues, and if you have Ezekiel Elliott, you need Tony Pollard.
Right.
Right? If you have Dalvin Cook, you need Alexander Mattison.
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, so, to me, like, Latavius Murray was one of the most obvious handcuffs out there.
Sure.
I mean, if you have Christian McCaffrey, you need Reggie Bonifant. Like, I think there are clear-cut handcuffs that we believe, I'm not saying Murray is as good as Kamara or Tony Pollard is as good as Zeke or anything like that, but those, or Alexander Mattison is as good as Dalvin Cook. But if anything were to happen to those players, that their backup would have fantasy success and be better than anything you could find on the waiver wire scrambling that week. So this is not surprising at all. We talked up Latavius Murray on Fantasy Football Now as well. I think I mentioned him in Love Hate. I certainly know we talked about him on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus and on the podcast, which is, you know, the stat I sort of used all week, which is that in the 31 games in Latavius Murray's career heading into week 7, in which he's gotten at least 15 carries, he's averaged over 15 fantasy points. When Latavius Murray gets run, he is fantasy productive. He obviously was going to get run in a game in which Alvin Kamara was going to play. Tough matchup with Chicago, but maybe not as much. Murray's a big game. Josh Jacobs had the big game prior to the bye. Like, Chicago is taking on a lot.
Huh? Gut check time for Chicago. 3-3, nothing going right offensively. This team has been such a disappointment so far this season.
Yeah, and by the way, here's a question for you. Is there any, with maybe the exception of Allen Robinson, I think, except Allen Robinson.
No.
Is there a Chicago Bear you feel comfortable starting?
No.
I agree.
The Bears defense, but that's it.
Right, yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's it. No.
How on earth did Tariq Cohen have 9 catches for 19 yards yesterday?
19.
Mitchell Trubisky, baby.
That is incredible.
Incredible.
We had this, I talked about the stat on Fantasy Football Now. Thirsty Kyle found this one. It was a great stat, which is just basically for his career, when Mitch Trubisky's under pressure, he averages under 5 yards per attempt.
Yeah, brutal.
Like, I think it's 4.8 yards per attempt. And so that's what that is. That's how you get 9 for 19.
Just when they're under pressure, what do Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson average per attempt?
I think more.
Oh, more than that?
4.8.
More than 4.8. Over 4.8.
Last one here, and but not sure there's a ton you can do about this one right now, because you probably invested a lot in this player, and he plays a position that's really difficult to find replacements. But regression is hitting Zach Ertz hard right now. 2 catches for 38 yards last night. There's this weird thing that goes on with the Eagles, because they have two tight ends who wear 88 and 86. Two numbers that when you're watching on TV look very close to each other.
Sure.
They also both wear like the forearm shiver sleeves. They also both have a comparable body type. They also play the same position. When Dallas Goedert catches a pass, I'm like, yes! Catch for Zach Ertz! Oh, wait. That was Dallas Goedert again. Yeah. It's hit him hard, Matthew. Again, I don't know what you can do about this, but you know, this is something you foresaw going into this season.
Yeah, he was on the preseason hate list. We talked about the regression, and so I don't know that it gets better anytime soon. Here's his upcoming schedule. At Buffalo, home to Chicago, a bye, and then New England.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you think you could get, like, if there's somebody in your league that's willing to trade for him based on name value, like, thinks they're, quote, selling high, like, hey, I'll give you Zach Ertz for Darren Waller, want to, you know, if you approach it this way, if you're like, hey, want to sell high on Waller and buy low on Ertz, do a swap, you know what I mean, or even an...
could not do that, but here's what I think you could do.
What?
Is that I think there are people that...
There are some dumb people out there. I think you
could
do that.
But here's what I would say, because I'm in this position now in the War Room League.
Yeah.
I have Will Disley. We had Will Disley. No. We had Will Disley as our starting tight end,
right?
We had Jordan Reed and then Will Disley, and then he gets hurt, and obviously we're turning to another option. We had Foster Moreau yesterday for the Raiders, right?
Who scored for you guys.
We would...
The cheer that Field let out when Foster Moreau scored was unbelievable.
Really,
I don't think I've ever seen him that excited.
It was really
excited. And I've been at his wedding.
It was like, really awesome. Yeah. Okay, it's a good point. And I've been slightly more excited. I would probably overpay for Zach Ertz right now because it's so desolate, right?
Right.
So desolate a tight end in that league, right? So that's what I would think I would be doing. If you have Zach Ertz and you can find somebody in your league that is so bad at the tight end spot, maybe you have Zach Ertz and maybe you added Darren Waller on waivers, or maybe you added somebody early on in the season, Mark Andrews, somebody that is an equal or comparable fill-in that, not saying you're benching that player most weeks, but you're flexing that player most weeks. That's how I try to approach it right now.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Because you might be able to get not a premium wide receiver, but like we might overspend on Zach Ertz if somebody offered him to us in the War Room League. Because again, it's Foster Moreau who we picked up because we decided we did not want to play Tyler Eifert yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. So far, his average finish this year is tight end 12. He has just one top 3 week.
Right.
Here's his finish by week this season, starting with week one. He was tight end 16, tight end 5, tight end 12, tight end 7, tight end 3. Okay, great. Tight end 16, and then heading into Monday Night Football, he's tight end 22 for the week. Now, he had a big play that just, you know, that they'd originally called a catch, and then upon review, it got overturned. He'd only gotten 1 foot down. So, you know, they took a couple of shots. And look, the entire Eagles offense just got, you know, just got punched in the face.
Yeah.
Like, they just, it was bad and out of sync. And when they get DeSean Jackson back, does that open? I think they really miss DeSean Jackson. Like, because that opens up the offense, but
it's like a passionate fan base, so I feel like I've heard a lot of analysis of the Eagles offense. They miss a lot of things right now. The offensive line isn't playing great. DeSean Jackson has been missed. Alshon Jeffrey was poor last night. The running game is fine, but man, they just seem to have no rhythm right now.
No.
So I guess, again, not saying you just have to part ways with Zach Ertz, but I think my strategy would be if you are in a spot where you can, and I use the word sacrifice a bit gratuitously here, but if you can part ways with Zach Ertz, the strategy might not be to try to collect 100 cents on the dollar, but it might be like, if you can, you know, if you're okay with
I think
prey on somebody that has bad tight ends.
Right. I think the way you're presenting it, I think is right. If I can just present basically what you said in a slightly different way, which is, instead of trying to get another tight end, right, for Zach Ertz, that in essence, what you do is go to a team in your league that's really desperate at tight end, that doesn't really have a tight end, and trade him Zach Ertz because you also don't really have a tight end.
Right.
I mean, that's what we're saying. Like, his average finish is tight end 12 for the year. So, but he's got this big name. So maybe somebody in your league who's not doing as much research as they should, maybe they're like, okay, yeah, Zach Ertz, maybe he's not as great as he was last year, but he's better than what I got rolling out there. And then you could be like, oh, I'll go pick up Darren Fells, who, by the way, probably going to be just as good, like not like, nice. Certainly more upside with Ertz, but like you could live with Darren Fells, right? Especially because if you improved somewhere else, I'm making this up, right? You're able to trade Zach Ertz for like a legit solid wide receiver, right? And then you then take another one of the wide receivers on your team and trade that for a tight end to somebody else.
You get like, DJ Moore for Zach Ertz, and then you trade somebody else that you're replacing DJ Moore with and get a lesser tight end than Zach Ertz.
Maybe you get Hunter Henry. Maybe you get, you know, Greg Olsen.
Yeah. Players like that. We got to go. Good show today by you, Matthew. Great rant by you today. We're back tomorrow.
We got a quick update, actually. We got 7 hours left on that Twitter poll, but just so you guys know where we're at right now, Matthew Berry, 47% says that he is a Hufflepuff. If you look on the screen there.
Wow.
Huge Hufflepuff. Slytherin in second place at 29. Gryffindor coming in last place at 10.
Hit me with the goods, Daniel. Give me.
At Fantasy Focus if you want to do that.
You know
Let's go and look
like,
and see what
I'm
Field
gonna
is.
Do
Hold
a rant on
Matthew.
You guys tomorrow.
Hold
I'm
on.
gonna
Let's
do a rant on you guys
is.
Tomorrow.
Field, the users, all of our viewers say, Gryffindor, 36%.
Let's
Field
go.
Is a Gryffindor, 36% Hufflepuff, 8% Slytherin. So,
come on.
7 hours left at Fantasy Focus.
They're doing
go
this
on.
Just to troll me. They're doing this just to troll me.
You know that is?
Hey,
it's a bunch
Daniel,
of Cardinals fans voting right now.
They're doing this just to troll me. Daniel, I need you to book J.K. Rowling for the show tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll get right on
I need
on
you
that.
To book
I'm
J.K.
Sure
Rowling
available.
For the show
sure
tomorrow.
Very
just
available.
Send her an email.
On tomorrow's show, not only do we have J.K. Rowling, we also have a recap of Patriots and Jets, waiver wire ads, and plenty of news pending the updates from later on today. We will
potentially
talk to you
a response
then.
From the Arizona Cardinals. For at Field Yates on Twitter and Instagram, at Daniel Dopp on Twitter, and at Something to Break on the IG, at Keith Lipscomb on Twitter, at Kyle Soppy ESPN on Twitter. I am at Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media, with the exception of the Fantasy Life app, where I'm merely at Matthew Berry. Fantasy show on ESPN Plus will be posting later today, so be sure to check that out. Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
You think you could do better than me? Because I don't think you could.
Jailbait. Field Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.
Secret Squirrel Daniel Dunn.
Make it happen.
Mediocre fan.